Ah, they forgot the smelling salts.
So looking forward to him. Damn it.
It's probably a good thing.
Yes. Yeah. I smelled pepper before.
Coach Kowalski with the Bridgeport Islanders in studio. Good morning, sir.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good.
You have a good holiday?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you need any smelling salt?
No.
New Year's Day morning?
No, not at all. I'm past that point. I'm lucky to get to midnight anymore.
But, yeah, exactly right.
It's good to get a break, see the family. I got all three kids are away at school. So,
You have three kids in school?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so get them home for a break.
And that's nice to have them all in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. We get short breaks. I was only home 3 days, but it's rare to have three full days off in our industry during the season, so it's good.
Right. You were 12 seasons in the NHL, right? Six teams?
No, I was as a player or as a coach?
Either one.
I was three seasons with New Jersey in the NHL, and then I was in New Jersey's organization for close to 12 years in around there, I think, before I came over here as an assistant coach under Brent Thompson for 2 years.
As a player?
No, as a coach.
As a coach.
Yeah.
But as a player?
Player, I played 12 seasons.
12 seasons?
Yeah, I didn't play in the NHL. I was all over the American League, East Coast League, yeah. All up and down the East Coast from Portland, Maine to Norfolk, Virginia, and pretty much everywhere in between.
Which major city do you think has the worst NHL fans?
The worst,
like the worst, just grossest. You know, when I think
nasty
football, I think Philly.
You got me there.
Really?
Yeah. So I was coaching in Trenton, New Jersey, and that's pretty close to Philly. And I had people that wouldn't go down with their kids. They actually, during my time there, they actually came up with a family section where if you had kids and wanted to go there. And then I also had
we need to separate yes,
right,
these fans from these people who want to bring their kids.
Yes.
Two very different crowds going on.
Yeah. Right.
And then when I was in New Jersey with the Devils, the NHL team, obviously that's a big historic rivalry going way back, and we were not liked, but they're a different breed down there.
Yeah. The Bridgeport fans are awesome, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a loyal following here. We had a really good crowd on Sunday, and it's been a tough year for us, especially at home. So we're
Why do you think that is?
It's a good question. We're trying to still work through that and figure it out.
What do you say when you're in the office with management?
The biggest issue we had early on is we lost our number one goaltender, who's been up and is a veteran, guy.
Blame it on the GM.
Yeah. New guy.
new guy. Hey, don't trade away our best goalie. Yeah, how about that?
Right. We've had some call ups with the Islanders too, which is good for these kids, but obviously it affects us here down in Bridgeport. But we got a big homestand coming up, so opportunity to get some wins under our belt.
Oh, good. Yeah, you have a 4-game homestand.
Yeah.
When does that start? Sunday?
Starts Sunday. We got a 4-game homestand, and I believe the 18th is the Pucks and Pies. It's a pregame. All the local pizza vendors are going to be there. So it's,
what?
Yeah,
nice.
I know. We just had some Sally's the other day. It was pretty good. So I'm looking.
Yeah, I can tell from your accent you're not from around here.
No. You know what? It's funny about the pizza. I had no idea. I'd obviously lived in New Jersey and New York, family still in.
Where are you originally from?
I'm from Simcoe, Ontario, south of Toronto.
Okay.
An hour and a half.
Do they even have pizza there?
Yeah, but it's nothing.
Yeah,
no.
It's Domino's.
No, it's not even comparable. Yeah. So I, being in Jersey, obviously had an appreciation for a different style of pizza and good. And then coming here, I had no idea.
Whole another level, right?
I didn't know Connecticut had their own thing. I'd never even experienced it, but now I
would you say Connecticut pizza is better than New Jersey pizza?
Oh, that's a really good question.
No, it's not.
It's different. I know what you guys are going to
say.
Not
for you right now. You can change your answer when you leave.
I'll be honest with you.
The slices are bigger.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're being honest.
It's different in the thin and that, and you can get it cooked medium and all that. Completely honest with you, I would take Connecticut pizza now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So this Pucks and Pies, when is this?
It's the 18th, and it's a...
And who's there? Which pizza places? Like a whole list?
Like
yeah,
a long
there's
list?
There's a bunch, yeah. So I think it's...
You got Fruitport, you got Pepe's, Sally's?
Sally's, right.
Okay.
Nice.
Right. Well, you can't go wrong.
No.
You know?
The only problem is I can't sneak out before the game and test somebody. Right.
And you can't have your players out there eating.
No, no, no.
Oh, man. My God. What? How long before you get on the ice do you stop eating?
We usually, depending on the game time, I mean, players, those guys just pound calories in them all day.
Right?
It really starts the day before for players. It's their lunch, their dinner.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have a solid breakfast, big lunch, and then they usually have some type of snack before the game. It could be anything from oatmeal to a sandwich to, you know, bagel cream cheese. We have a lot of, like whole grain bread, bananas and peanut butter protein bars on hand.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
There. Protein.
Yeah, you got to field a car.
Yeah, it's amazing. Though when I hit him.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what these guys eat.
I don't think there's a sport that where you burn more calories. Like I look at basketball.
Going,
like basketball's
yeah.
close, but man, they're not on ice skates.
Yeah. Everything's going.
Ice skates.
You got to balance yourself. Got to go across the ice. You got your arms moving. There's boxing involved.
From time to time.
That's right. Coach Kowalski with the Bridgeport Islanders, and they got a 4-game homestand coming up Sunday. What do you think about that? In terms of, you know, calories burned or just energy needed to perform, the hockey's got to be the number one sport, right?
Yeah, it's up there. The average shift length, I would say, of players at high levels, American League, NHL's probably, honestly, because of the intensity, it's 35 to 45 seconds. Like we get on guys if they're, you know, north of 50 seconds.
Really?
So it's a very anaerobic in the sense that it's high intensity and then short breaks. You know, you look at football, obviously, if you got a team that's running a team down the field, those big boys get tired because they're on, they're moving. But some of those plays may be 5 seconds, right? And then they reset. There's timeouts. Basketball's a good comparison because it's up and back. And the pace changes a bit. They get a lot of timeouts. But, yeah, I would have to say as far as just overall intensity, you have the physical element of basketball or football as far as contact. But then, to your point, the movement of constant movement,
you know,
of basketball with the intensity.
You go into a hockey locker room.
Uh-huh.
There's no other smell like that in the world.
It's true.
There is no other smell like that in the world.
Yeah.
This is a room full of just where men have worked.
Right.
And the other thing is there's no other sport that football does have pads, but right. not that much.
No. Even the flies wearing a mask.
Yeah. No, it's pretty bad. You know, Sacred Heart has an air conditioning, like an air filtering system in their locker room?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys
facilities.
Have that?
Yep. Yeah,
nice.
All, and it's, well, plus I think with modern technology and to your point, the amount, I mean, these guys wear this gear, you know, more times than there is days in the year because, you know, on a game day, we'll have a light skate in the morning, but enough to get a sweat on. Then you have the game. So there's lots of days you're putting that gear on twice a day and that, you know, overcomes the one day off you have a week. So it's really, if the season's 6 months long, you probably got that gear on 6.5 months.
Oh,
you know?
Jesus.
So they do a good job.
You have special detergent? How do you get that smell out?
Fire.
That's a good
at the
point.
End of the season,
just burn.
Oh my God, that would be a good event. After the season, have a burn in the parking lot.
See this big toxic cloud.
See this blue flame?
I think nowadays they replace the gear pretty quick, but they do, our equipment guys will wash all the, they'll throw everything, minus the skates and
that's
helmets, in the industrial
thankless
size.
Job. Yeah.
And some guys probably don't want it washed. Some guy, there's like a luck factor. Yeah.
Is there a lot of superstition with the Bridgeport Islanders, the players?
I think every player has a certain amount, but I do know, like I wore my shin pads and shoulder pads I probably had the last 10 years of my career.
You don't have a rash either, though.
Yeah. And that's the other problem is you get into these, depending on what guys wear underneath, they can get, you know, you can get skin. That MRSA is a scary thing. Guys get cuts. Especially a big one in hockey is, when you fall on your elbow, and I had that happen as a player, and you kind of pop that bursa sac there, and you split that elbow because that's in that elbow pad. Like
that sounds
I know
painful.
It's nasty. It is painful.
The fact
but
it's
also
sack, maybe.
It's also nasty because it's basically sitting in that elbow pad, which is basically, I know it's gross, it's like, but a bowl of soup. Of,
it's some sweat soup.
So the chances for infection
are gross. Write this down. No soup today. Thank you. Jesus.
What's the worst you've seen that, you know, devolve into?
I had a roommate in junior hockey that his whole arm, he ended up having to get it packed, probably through a half-inch cut in his elbow. He had to get it packed, and his fingers swelled up so bad they were touching.
They had to pack the sack.
Wow.
And they would pack that thing. His whole arm ended up being packed with gauze, and they would pull that out. And I went to the doctors a couple of times. It was brown, green, yellow stuff.
Oh, man. That's the thing with hockey players. I'm telling you, they're the toughest athletes on the planet.
Let me write this down.
There's not another sport.
I gotta write this down.
Tough athletes.
Have salad today.
Like hockey.
You were making the comparison to football. One of my all-time favorite commercials is just like this little short guy sitting on the edge of like a trainer's table, and there's a big guy who like obviously just got off the football field next to him, and his finger's pointing to the left, like he's just holding his hand out, and he straightens the finger out, and it makes a sound, and the small guy just like falls over, faints, and there's no talking, and then it just says, "You wouldn't make it in the NFL."
Yeah.
Like, these guys are just a different breed.
Yeah, no question.
When did it start for you? How old were you?
Two. No, I wouldn't have been on skates that early, but definitely in around probably 4 years old, and then you get
still can't
you hit the ground running once you get in once you love it. It was it's go.
You don't realize when you go to like a Bridgeport Islanders game, every player on the ice, there was a whole circle around them for decades dedicating their time to travel teams.
Yeah.
The amount of commitment it takes to get on that ice is pretty nuts.
Yeah, and nowadays it's become so big. It's really is a world sport now. I mean, even when I was younger, the player, there wasn't a lot of players even coming out of the U.S. They were mostly Canadian. There was Europeans weren't coming over yet, but now it's gotten so big and so competitive, and it's such a business now. Unfortunately, at the youth game, kids are leaving home now at 12 years old to go play in these big centers.
Wow.
And you know, advance their careers, and parents are paying a lot of money. Everything used to just be local, right? I grew up playing my local little farm towns, and there was no AAA and all that stuff. But now it's gone crazy, and you know, everybody's chasing the dream.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always
a
pleasure.
You can't get a better family night, affordable and like action packed and just a lot of fun than going to a Bridgeport Islanders game. And they have a 4-game homestand coming up starting Sunday.
Awesome.
And the Pucks and Pies.
Pucks and Pies.
Pretty damn good, too. Ooh. Thank you, Coach.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. How do I pronounce your name?
Cerulli.
Cerulli.
Cerulli. I know. I look like I have a big Italian last name.
Cerulli. How many ways will they find to screw us in Hartford with this new legislature starting today?
Well,
you got about 26 billion ways.
Wow.
26 billion.
Damn,
is that
McDonald's.
The budget?
That will be, 50 billion will be the whole because it's a 2-year budget, but 26 billion a year, probably a little bit more than that, actually. 26 billion was what it was last year.
Isn't that bananas?
Damn, man.
I mean, think about the size of this state.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy, too. I always say to people, there's 187 of these legislators. They go in for 6 months. Most of them only work about 3 days a week at the legislature. So 6 months, 3 days a week, they're going to spend $26 billion. Just think about that. Like, that's crazy. Like, there are massive corporations.
Oh, I love that math. Yeah. Are you going to do that? You do in your coverage?
I do, because
what does that come down to per day, what they're spending per day while they're on the job?
It's less than half a year of work, of 40-hour work weeks. It's and you think about big corporations, they don't even spend, you know, $26 billion in that period of time. So the legislature, and these are part-time legislators, and there's benefits to having, you know, part-time legislators, people who have real jobs, operate small businesses, but it is always a shocking thing to think about just the volume of money that they'll spend in 6 months.
But that's all they think about when they go there is how can we spend money? And they think every problem will go away by writing out a check.
Right.
And it's not true.
And even the ones who talk about and say, well, we need to be fiscally responsible. And I don't doubt that they're sincere when they say that. you'll see, and particularly, so there's a budgeting process, which is the taxes that obviously they get from people. Then there's a whole other process called bonding, which is borrowing. It's the state's credit card. And as much as some people will say, hey, I really care about fiscal responsibility, when it comes time to build the big list of money, of things they want to borrow money for, everyone's asking for a new Little League field, you know, repave the interchange in my district, you know, all of that stuff. So when it comes down to it, and I guess that's the point of having a representative government, everyone's kind of selfish and wants their own cut of the pie.
Right.
And over time, that adds up to, you know, $26 billion a year, plus, you know, billions in borrowing.
Mike Cerulli, he's the political reporter at News 8, and the legislative session begins today. What do you think they're going to take up first?
Well, they have to start the budgeting process now, basically. The governor will deliver his State of the State address today, and then in February, he'll come back in and deliver what's called a budget address. So they'll start talking about the budget now. But to be 100% honest with you, most of what happens in the first couple months is just talking. They have these public hearings where they'll introduce bills, 95% of which will not pass and be signed into law. And they'll do, for example, and I heard you had Senator Ryan Fazio on the show, there'll be a dozen bills where they say, hey, we're going to lower your energy costs. So come up to the Capitol and testify and say, we want lower energy costs. And I would be surprised.
They don't know how to do this.
Well, I'd be surprised if one of those kind of flashy bills gets passed in this session. It's really tough.
They don't have an answer for it.
They don't have an answer. I will say, I interviewed State Representative Jonathan Steinberg from Westport. He's a Democrat. He's the top House Democrat that deals with energy issues. And one of the first things he said to me, we were talking about energy. He said, we shouldn't pander to voters and tell them that we have a solution for this that we'll be able to do in the next 6 months. And it's one of the most honest things a politician has ever said to me. He's just like, we can't, you're being pandered to if someone's telling you there's an easy fix to this.
There isn't. You know, that public benefits shenanigans in the bill, if that went away, that would help. Mine was $75 this month.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are, you know, Senator Fazio calls them, they basically fund programs that otherwise would be things that they discuss now in the budget. So Fazio wants to take it from the budget or from the public benefits charge from your bill and put it through the budget. The problem with that is you would still end up paying for those programs because the Democrats control the legislature. They want these programs in the first place. And so you might just have, you know, either something, some other program you have to take money from, or your taxes will just go up. Same thing with another solution to that I've heard proposed, which is that the state should offer a tax credit equal to, basically you can write off on your state income tax equal to your public benefits charge. And again, it's like, where's the money for that going to come from? Probably from you, right?
Yeah, we need a government efficiency department,
right?
You know, we just need a couple people to come in and just start crossing through stuff in the budget. Right? It's bananas.
Every time they look under a rock, you have Sean Scanlon on this show a lot. He took a look at the spending patterns of the head of the state college.
The comptroller.
Yeah, the comptroller. Just took a look at the credit cards that they give to the head of the state college system. So not UConn, but like Western and Central and the community colleges.
Yeah.
They found they spent like $20,000 over 2 years or something like that on food. You know, going to Capitol Grill, going to nice restaurants in Hartford. And it really, it's shocking. And there are state auditors. There is the comptroller's office. But there needs to be more done, I think, on sort of exposing some of these things. It's part of our job, too. It's what we will be.
Are you going to be going after them?
I try to. And it's
When you say you try.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You try and then somebody says, hey, we're not going to give you any interviews if you keep this up.
There is some of that. There is some of it where you just have to plant yourself. You know, when the Bridgeport absentee ballot, the ballot stuffing scandal happened and nobody was commenting, you just show up to Wanda's house and you stand on the front lawn there and you wait till someone talks to you. And we got an interview with her husband and he kind of told us off. But there are points when you just have to plant yourself somewhere and say, I'm going to, you know, these are public places. Anyone can go up to the legislature. That's the legislator that we want to talk to about that issue. We can just follow them if we want to.
Yeah.
So you have to do that. But I will say, like on the energy thing, on Monday of this week, Eversource invites all the political reporters up to their headquarters for the presentation that they give to the legislators, that they give to local mayors and first selectmen. And it is this process of they kind of wrap their arms around you and they say, look, we're not really the bad guys here. We really are. Our hands are tied in all this situation. And you really do, as a reporter, have to watch out for, because who are these PR people? They're all former reporters. They're all former legislators and stuff like that. So you have to watch out for that influence of, like, you know, watch who's buying you a cup of coffee. Watch who's, you know, hey, maybe we got a job here one day. That's how they do it. It's not necessarily like.
But they box you out if you do a tough story on them. Sure. We've had that here. We do a tough interview, and then they don't come on anymore.
Totally.
And they don't have to.
They don't have to.
They don't have to.
Yeah.
And they have really no one to answer to.
Yeah. That's what, the voters, but how effective is that?
The Democrats have built a pretty good machine in this state.
And the districts, a lot of the districts are drawn to favor, you know, certain political parties, so that once you get picked by the handful of people who pick who runs for these things, you're set.
That's right. And they know they can vote, you know, yes, right. all the way down every single time. They're going to get reelected.
Yeah. So it's a bind when it comes to these issues, when you have kind of one party control. But
Mike Cerulli.
That's it.
Cerulli.
Yes, sir.
Cerulli.
Hey.
He's the political reporter for News 8. Are you the chief correspondent now?
I don't have the chief title. I've always thought the chief title was, because there's only one of me that focuses on politics. Then we have Dennis House, who does the anchoring.
Right.
So I'm like, what am I the chief of?
Right. So when they were calling Mark Davis chief, he wasn't really chief. He was just, all right, Mark, you've been here for a while, so we'll give you chief.
I think there was a point in time when there was a person who were, when Jody Latina may have overlapped with Mark, she was the political reporter, he was the chief correspondent. But Mark,
that makes sense.
Mark did that job longer than I've been alive, so he deserves the chief title.
Senator Sampson, statement on Connecticut DEI practices. You know what DEI is, AJ? Yeah.
Do everything.
It's. Do you know what DEI stands for?
No idea.
It's a Department of what?
Diversity, equity,
diversity,
inclusion.
Equity and inclusion.
Ah,
yes,
see?
Sir.
Yeah. Second guess.
So we have a new office of this now.
We do.
The person's going to get paid $175,000 a year plus Cadillac benefits.
Yes, those benefits are important because those are the things that really add up over time.
Right.
So, not that the $175,000.
Yeah, $175,000 a year.
Right.
Nice
and this
too.
Is to what? Just to, what are they going to do?
Well, they say, right, when you go to the press conferences, they say that it is to sort of review the state's hiring practices, the state's promotion practices, to make sure, as the acronym suggests, that there is diversity, equity, and inclusion. The original plan, I think, had been to hire like one of these people for every state agency. Which there's like 2 dozen state aid, more than that.
Bananas.
It is, I interact with state government all the time. I think it's a pretty diverse group of people, you know? And I think that's one of the points the Republicans made, is they said, well, if you're just putting out...
Shouldn't we hire the best people?
I would think, I mean...
Sure.
That's how a company operates.
I work in a very, in a very meritocratic environment. If I do a bad job on TV... No more mic on TV. Right?
You know, I always go back to sports teams. They put the best people on the field.
Yeah.
That's it. We're out here trying to win. You put the best people on the field. It's not if you're black, white, Asian, whatever.
No.
It's the bet.
Your ability.
Who's going to get the ball down the field, or who's going to hit the home run?
Exactly.
Who's going to get the puck in the net?
Right.
That's what it's about. That's what it should be about.
And for those, I know we're on the radio right now, but, you know, I'm Asian, right? So I understand the value of, you know, seeing people who look like you in positions of power and whatnot, but... But ultimately, I would like to be judged just on, you get on TV, can you look into a camera, can you talk into a microphone?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
How old are you?
23.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. What, is my hairline going back or something?
No,
it's unbelievable. You're so well-spoken, and so, you know what you're talking about, and you're a professional at 23.
Well, thank you.
AJ, what were you doing at 23?
I was unemployed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smoking weed.
Smoking weed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Cruising.
Yeah.
All right, but here's another story. UConn law professor was arrested in a prostitution sting. Did you see this?
I saw it. I think we might. Did we cover it? Is that a News 8 story? Or is that who reported it?
He didn't cover it.
I got it from Channel 3.
Yeah, I did not personally.
You guys probably covered it.
Yeah.
So this guy, Ronald Murphy, 56, out of Farmington.
Mm-hmm.
According to TransparencyCT.gov, Murphy earned $1,618 in his role at UConn during a fiscal year. I mean, this guy's pulling down big, big money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably, does he have tenure and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's what? What was the charge? He was prostitution?
Yeah, he got caught up in a prostitution sting.
Oh, jeez.
But the amount of money these people are making that, yeah. you know, you, if you look in a government website, they wouldn't be listed as an elected official.
No.
They're just someone who's like a hired gun to come in to speak at a college.
Right.
They're making crazy money.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That much money, huh? Wow.
Yeah. Well, I hope you... I hope they let you loose.
You know what? I think they, at News 8, they always want sort of more aggressive reporting. And Mark Davis, to talk about Mark Davis,
right.
he's someone who would just, I would characterize it, would just sit there and argue with Dan Malloy sometimes. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, I'm 23, like one of the things I talk to the older political reporters about is back in the day, there used to be like 20 people up there running around the Capitol, competing with each other for stories so that competition made everybody more aggressive. Now there's maybe half a dozen of us who focus full time on politics. I'm by far the youngest of that group. So for me, it's mostly just my own kind of ambition to get good stories and be tough on people.
Top the last one, yeah.
Yeah, whereas back in the day, I think it used to be like, hey, we got to beat Channel 3 to this, or the Current has to beat the Post to this. Now it's more, there's less of that competition.
And we need to bring that back, don't we?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, and it's tough to bring that back because there's not going to be more media. Like, the media business, as we all know, you know, is consolidating more. So I just look at it as my job to kind of be like, all right, well, in the absence of something that's going to, you know, naturally cause that, I just have to do it, you know, kind of myself and be a little bit more.
Go on and inform us. Get us all fired up. Get us calling our representatives.
Yeah. One of the things I want to do this year is I want to point the camera away from the politicians and at the big crowd of lobbyists that come to the Capitol every
year. That's great.
Yeah.
And it is like, it shocks people. Like, I've given people little tours of the Capitol, and there are literally these velvet ropes that are outside the House chamber. I'll send you guys a picture of it today, of outside the House chambers where these people stand and literally grab these lawmakers on their way to the bathroom. And people go, who are these people? And I go, they're lobbyousts. And there are lobbyists for Everstores, and there's lobbyists for the state professors that we talked about. And that's not to say any of these people don't have, like, valid claims. Like, if I was a professor, I'd want someone advocating for me. But it's like, where's the Joe in West Haven, you know, Mary in East Hartford? Where are their lobbyists? Supposed to be the
187. Follow the money. Yeah, when you come up there with a tremendous amount of money, all of a sudden you get a lot of eyes and ears on your issue.
100%.
I was in a bar in Hartford some years back, and I started talking to a couple lobbyists, and they said a lot of these bills that come through, we have to read them and tell the legislators what's in it.
One thing you will hear from legislators when you say, hey, why do you take meetings with lobbyists, is they'll say, well, they're the experts on a subject. And there's some validity to that, right? When you have a part-time legislature, they don't know who to pick up the phone and call if they need to learn about, like, how, you know, waste recycling systems work. They have to call the person who... But then it's like, well, do you trust everything that person says?
That's
they obviously have an agenda. And that's always interesting that the lawmakers sometimes look at the lobbyists, and they're nice people. Like, if you sat and had a beer with them, they're nice guys and whatever. But, you know, if they're all the lawmakers talk to, which they're not, but an outsized amount of lawmaker time is spent dodging lobbyists.
You have a really important job in this state.
And
you grew up here.
I grew up here in Trumbull, and I, you know, like...
But as a political reporter, you have an important job.
Right? Yeah.
And when you start making an impact, you're going to get calls from people saying, Mike, you're going a little too hard on us on this one.
That's when
you have to put your foot down on the gas pedal and go harder. That means you're getting close.
Yeah. There was a couple of those during the Bridgeport absentee thing. When they caught, obviously, on camera... the redo election, what I was really interested in is which Democrats are going down there and endorsing Ganim and all that. And I went on like Saturday mornings to these like little Democratic gatherings of that. And I would take pictures of Susan Bicewitz or Blumenthal or Scanlon endorsing Ganim. And I would tweet it. And I would say, Bicewitz is here. She's endorsed him. And I would get, what are you doing on a Saturday morning, you know, following these guys around? And it's not like, obviously didn't change anybody's mind, but, and it's not my goal to try to change someone's mind. It's my goal to show people what's happening. But I thought it was interesting that after all we'd seen from that situation, and you had Democrats for a year talking about democracy and defending democracy, that basically every major Democrat went down and fell in line there.
And follow the money.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got to have you back. We'll talk about, because you got some interesting stuff in your card here. You're an interesting dude for 23, yeah. Political reporter. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And you got a show on our sister station?
Yes, sir, on WICC. I pulled the short. I go 10 a.m. on Saturdays to 1 p.m. So if you find yourself with a free 3 hours on Saturdays, I have mostly politicians on. I interview them. So
good, and yeah. it's a good place to start.
True.
Yeah. And News 8 is a tremendous place to start.
Yes.
You know what? I was texting with Alyssa Tagley this morning, complaining to her about having to wake up early. And I said, "How do you do this every morning?" And she told me to say hi to you guys. So yeah, she said you're great.
Hey.
And it's all great people at News 8.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Give them hell.
Will do.
All right. Thank you, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. You were in the news.
I was in the news.
I saw you all over Channel 3.
All over the place. Yep. That's my face.
Yeah.
Yep. Talking about the, basically letting everybody know, what's going on lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those who wonder if I was shrinking, I'm not shrinking. Right. Yeah. A couple of things going on. A little health issue that was caught early, and it's all going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your doctor says you'll be back to 100% or close.
Yep. And the words of encouragement from people have been fantastic.
I had a lot of texts yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And the day before.
Yeah.
A lot of people reaching out.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you very, very much.
I have to go through them, actually, because I told everyone that I would tell you that they were asking about you.
Oh, I got them all.
I heard. I'll read through them later.
Cool.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Not that this segues in well, but National Day of Mourning is tomorrow.
The polar opposite.
Yeah, polar opposite of what's happening here.
We now flip the switch.
Jimmy Carter died at 100 years old.
It's a good
run. Feel like he died at 98.
Right.
But okay, whatever. You want to say it was 100?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take everyone right now.
So tomorrow is a National Day of Mourning, not to be confused with a National Day of Mourning that occurs on Thanksgiving. Which I didn't even know happened.
No.
No.
Will the mail be delivered tomorrow?
Will it?
No.
No. It's okay. Just bills anyway.
It's your birthday. You I can don't take get a your break. Birthday cards.
Will anything else be closed? The New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
And NASDAQ.
I don't have any investments, so we're good.
The Supreme Court, federal courts, Library of Congress will also be closed.
McDonald's closed.
Banks, it'll be based on what they want to do. So yeah. The bank may or may not be open tomorrow.
They can just decide, we're not participating.
Pretty torn up about Jimmy Carter. We're going to take this one out.
My $2 is safe.
Right. You see, he's lying in state right now.
Yeah. I was a closed casket. Right? Is that open, is it?
They never open it. There's a flag on it. Have you ever seen a president lying in state?
I know sometimes.
That's when they're lying in the...
I know sometimes they have it open, too.
When?
I've seen...
No.
No? Okay.
You haven't. It's always closed.
But I've seen open ones, yeah.
For presidents.
No, I can't tell you, honestly, but I was just curious. That was a legit question. Is it open or closed?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's closed.
It's closed. Okay,
there's a flag. It would be weird if it was open with a flag over it.
Well, that's the thing.
It looked like a tent.
Just many days in,
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have a representative from each of the armed forces standing in a circle facing his casket.
Wow.
And they stand there for hours and hours and hours and hours, and they don't move.
No, they don't flinch.
It's pretty moving to see something like that.
How do you do that? Especially with the wool suits.
I would not be the person that would ever make that team.
Yeah, I'm too nervous and jerky.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they come by you and go,
right.
During training.
Yeah. Yep.
Clapper. Clap right. on. Yep.
Imagine I can feel a bug in your ear. Oh,
imagine
you let out a fart and they smell it.
Oh, no.
Like,
yeah.
Right. There's
I always wondered that, too. Like, their diet's got to be so restricted before they got to go stand there.
That's right. You can't drink a lot of water.
I'd be like, he spoke.
Have the enchiladas the night before.
One last word he said. What was it?
you can't load up like hard-boiled eggs that morning.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right, dude. Apparently, he played trumpet. I'd be afraid I'd be the guy who fell over and knocked over the other guys like dominoes.
They're not standing that close.
Oh, okay.
Clearly, you have not seen the image of this happening ever.
Why would I be there?
Why would they be standing so close together that they would knock each other over?
A very short, very small coffin.
Yeah, no, but they they stand in a circle around, like, surrounding the president.
Right. Guarding him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool thing to see.
Did you ever go to a funeral involved with like, we had, like, the Marine standing there? My friend Ramey.
I've been to military funerals.
My friend Ramey's dad passed away, and his funeral, his burial, was probably one of the coldest days I've ever experienced in my life. Mm. And this one guy dressed in the Marine outfit, that awesome Marine outfit, stood there, like you said, motionless.
Yeah.
But I saw him like about
shivering.
About 40 minutes into him, he was like starting to shiver, and he was trying so hard not to. And I'm like, you know what?
It's you cool. can shiver.
Feel free.
You're human.
I wanted to hand the keys to my truck. Hey, just go in there and warm up.
Yeah.
I won't say anything. Very beautiful. Very moving.
I've been to military funerals. The second they start playing taps, it's
over. Yep.
Not a dry eye.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
I went to a funeral yesterday for my friend's mom.
Yeah.
Maria Lopes. Uh-huh. Beautiful lady. 85 years old. And
wonderful family, too.
One of my best friends.
Yeah.
Mother. And so many people there in the church.
Yeah.
And the amount of cars going to the cemetery, I want to say over 40, 50. It was one of the longest processions I've been in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're winding our way through Bridgeport. All of these cars. I'm towards the end. So as I'm going through the red lights, these people are getting antsy. They're like, I'm going to try to make a play here.
Yeah,
come on. This many
they're trying
people
to
like
cut in. They'd be in the wrong.
There was one car that just made its way in and put its flashes on.
Right.
I'm like, all right.
So this moment, I'm
you're with us now. Yeah. See you at the cemetery.
It was pretty graphic. Yeah.
It was very moving.
Yeah.
Jeff in Oxford.
Hey, Chez. Happy January 8th, and Happy New Year, by the way.
Shut up. Was that it?
Oh, that was it.
That was it.
Okay, see ya.
Chez and AJ.
Hey, in regards to the topic that you guys are on, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier down in Washington, D.C., they have a documentary about the honor guards and what they have to go through for training as far as carrying the caskets and all that stuff. It is a lot of work that they go through, and the meticulous detail to make sure that the uniforms are spotless and, like, spot on, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of information out there on it. It's actually called, I believe, the First Army Division or something like that. And it, like I said, you can Google it, YouTube it. So
I'm going to watch that. That sounds real interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would never be part of that. You can't have a pet.
No.
And be part of that.
No. Right. No. Cat hair, dog hair.
I took a coat that I just got for Christmas, and I carried it into the laundry room to steam it.
Uh-huh.
From one room to the next, cat hair just like jumped on it. The cat hair must have been flying through the air.
There is a static
searching.
Yeah. And it was like, boom, 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 boom.
Right. Like a ninja.
I know what you're going through, brother. I know what you're going through. I got two German shepherds.
Oh.
We back in the house every day. There's still dog hair.
You can't get away from it.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't have pets if you're on the
end.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Bye.
Machete Freddy.
Hey, have you ever been to a funeral on your birthday?
No.
No.
Well, yes. Yesterday.
Yeah, you were.
Yes.
I tried to make a dad joke to lighten the mood since it was my birthday. My cousin did not find it funny at all. No one cares.
Wait, run this by me again now.
So I went to a funeral on my birthday.
Okay.
And I tried to lighten the mood by making a dad joke about like something corny funeral joke. And then my cousin did not think it was funny. She's like, be quiet. Nobody cares.
Right. It killed one person.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess.
Well, who died and how old were they?
It was like a great aunt. And I 96 or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
Hey.
It's not as bad as like.
I'm sure she found it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's speechless.
That's the thing when you're at a wake and you're talking to someone you haven't talked to in a while and you're in a back row and all of a sudden you're like,
right,
and you realize the whole room is quiet. That did not happen to me.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's, you got to watch.
Because it's the one time you see each other.
Read the room.
Right. You haven't seen anyone. Yeah. It's weddings and funerals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want that. I want people laughing at mine. Yeah. No, yeah. Don't feel like you got to sit there silently. Go ahead and talk and laugh. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a playlist. It's like all party songs.
Yep.
It's upbeat.
Fun.
Have a good time.
All right. I want a slow version of Pop Goes Wheels playing.
With a closed casket. So we can sit there wondering.
Is it going to come?
Is this the one where he's going to... Blum, 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 blum. That would be great. That would keep us all, you know, focused. Every like 20 seconds, we're looking at the box. Is this the one where he pops out?
At the peak, all your hernia mess just goes
spaghetti.
Dave in the car.
Hey, how are you guys? So the guy was right, but it's the third infantry division. It's the old guard. Also, too, like the guys at Arlington, what they do is they practice every day with caskets. That's part of their job. Like, wow. They do everything position, carrying. Also, too, like they have multiple, you know, different services. So when like the president dies, they have Army there, they have the Air Force, the Marines, and the Navy guys. They all like take turns. But
those caskets aren't light.
No.
No, they're not. But also, too, another fact about the Tomb of Unknown Soldier guards, they have to try out and they get like apprentice. Like there's guys there. All they do is clean the uniforms for the people to do the walks. Also, too, they get a tomb badge, and there's like maybe 500 of them in the world. If you get a tomb badge, you get to wear it on your uniform. But if you get like a DUI, like after you leave, they take the badge away from you.
Oh, wow. Mm.
It's very, it's all, if you go on the computer and look it up, it's very fascinating. I was in the Army, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
No, you're welcome. I had to do, like, every division in the Army has to, like, has a casket team. So if something happens, like, active duty guy passes away, they have to send, you know, guys. We do the funeral with the 21-gun salute and the holding the flag. And it's pretty, it's, you know, people really, like, get into it, you know.
Yeah, no, it's
weird, guys.
It's a yeah, no, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold it. What'd you say?
Yeah, David.
What'd you say?
Thank you for your service, but shut up.
Shut up.
Oh, sorry.
Shut up, you.
Hey, pay attention.
Yeah, no, it's a deal.
Yep.
It's something. Have you ever met a sitting United States president?
No.
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 Not sitting.
VP.
Yeah, we had the vice president call in.
Yeah.
And we had the
Dick Cheney.
So we talked to Joe Biden when he was vice president.
Yep.
We talked to Dick Cheney when he was a sitting vice president. We were in the room with him.
Right across from me, yeah.
We talked to the first lady, Laura Bush.
Right.
I think that's as close as we've gotten to a president. We had Donald Trump call in when he was a candidate.
Yep.
In 16.
Missed the call.
Missed the call. Yeah.
That's what it was.
I was 6 feet away from the first Bush. We were vacationing up in Kennebunk. They've got the compound up there, and he just wanted to, like, go take the boat out. So we're coming in from a fishing trip, so we're loaded up on, like, beer and chips. Like, we're just having the best time. And you know he's coming because they've got, like, these, like, you know, they flank him. They have, like, these high-performance vehicles that are on the water out in front of them, and then there's no boats going through the marina. So we're coming in, we're like, what do we do? I was like, I guess we just keep going.
Yeah.
So then he's unmistakable, right? He was standing at the time, so he wasn't in the wheelchair yet, but very tall. And then my mom just sort of waves. He waved back, and she goes, God bless America! Like, that loud. And then we were all like, okay. We're all on a watch list now.
She's hammered.
Whoa,
now. She's hammered.
Oh, my God.
Not going to do it.
About to take a titty out the way she yelled.
That would have been great.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
Thank you.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
Dumbass.
Comedian Emily Sierra in studio.
Morning. What's
hello.
Up?
Yay.
Hooters waitress flirts shamelessly with cop who pulled her over for DUI. We have a video.
We're gonna make out here.
Okay.
Gonna make out here.
No, we are not.
Turn off the lights.
Stop right there.
Turn off the lights. We're gonna make out.
Wait. Stay right there.
Oh.
Okay.
That's my bad.
All right.
I gotta pee, bro.
I know. I gotta pee as well, bro.
I gotta pee.
Okay. Do you want
to
try this?
She doesn't sound drunk to me.
No. She hoping he likes pee. What's the deal?
Pee. Well, the sandwich has to pee.
Yeah.
Now, is this a Hooters waitress who says we're going to make out is difficult to say no to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is okay.
didn't need that career.
Okay. Turn his camera off first. Click.
Yeah, Ken, you could turn your camera off.
Turn your body cam off.
Yeah. It would be a bad place to turn it off, though. You want to make out? Click off.
Right. Yeah. I know what happened. The frequency of her voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she said pee. It set my thing off.
No, I got a pee.
Okay, do you want to
That's
try
funny. You know how many times I think that on the show?
Right.
Same. Oh, my God.
We're in a long break.
Oh.
Yeah, that's actually your kidney.
I got a pee.
No, I got a pee.
Yeah.
Not playing Jeopardy here.
Okay.
Okay, do you want to try this first exercise for me?
I will do anything for you, Daddy.
Oh, she's calling him Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
There's like another 37 of those coming, by the way.
Oh, really?
Up. Oh, oh my God. She leans.
Got all the tricks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not working, and she's just like, well, number 37. Yeah, it'll be the one.
He's her daddy.
God damn.
All right.
Give me that suit. I'll do anything for you.
Can you put your feet together?
Oh, put my feet together.
And your hands on your side?
Whatever you say, Daddy.
Okay. Now, before
I'll put
we
my hand
start,
on my hip.
No, I was grabbing my flashlight.
Oh, whatever you want, Daddy.
Okay. Before we start.
Hey, finish art.
Are you wearing contacts right now? No, I'm wearing glasses.
Are you wearing what?
Cartex, I heard. Are you wearing Cartex?
Contacts.
Oh,
contacts.
Yeah, but she's a Cartex.
Are you wearing Cartex?
No, I'm wearing.
Are you wearing Cartex? No, I pay Cartex.
Right.
I don't wear Cartex.
Yeah, she's happy.
Yeah.
I am wearing contacts. Wait, you see this? I am wearing contacts.
She's now lifted up her shirt. And she's showing out. Yeah.
Where her contacts are.
Oh.
Yes.
Are you seeing boobies or a bra or a t-shirt?
At this point, you're still seeing shirt.
It's the Hooters uniform shirt.
Yeah, she's wearing the white tank.
Yeah.
Right, she's wearing a gray sweatshirt.
Ah, and she's rubbing her contacts.
Oh, there you go. See,
I am wearing contacts. Wait, you see this? I am wearing contacts.
Sophia,
you see this?
Can you put your shirt on?
I am wearing contacts.
He's being as polite as you could be.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
and patient.
He's being a gentleman.
Yep. Yeah, this is a minute in.
I wonder how this would go in like 1985 when there's no dash cams or body cams.
Let's check your eyesight.
Right.
Okay. One.
I swear to God, I'm wearing contacts.
Hold on. I want you to think for like 2 seconds.
I am wearing contacts.
Sophia.
You might have glasses, but I am wearing contacts.
Hey, Sophia.
I swear to God, I'm wearing contacts.
Like 2 seconds.
Why are you such a nerd, bro?
In all seriousness.
Bro, don't be such a nerd, bro.
Yep.
Arrested.
That would be my guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, a little voice down below. Button. Yeah, why am I such a nerd?
Bro, I got a pee.
Yep.
Poor cop. In Florida.
Yeah, where'd that happen? Florida?
Yeah.
Why would he be a poor cop?
He's got to go through this whole thing. You know, the camera on.
At least she was mostly polite. I don't like the people that, like, are angry.
Yeah.
Get nasty.
Right. Yeah. Because they still don't listen. They still can't hear anything you're saying to them.
Right. She's playful, playful drunk.
Bro, I got a pee.
Yeah, voice kind of turns you off a little bit.
You can tell how drunk she is by that voice.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
she
yeah.
doesn't care.
And even with that head spinning around going, blah, 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 blah.
No, I was grabbing my flashlight.
Oh, whatever you want, Daddy.
Whatever you want, Daddy.
Daddy. Chaz and AJ.
She had a poop.
I got a poo.
That'd be more appropriate. That would sound like she's actually pooping at that time.
No, I got a pee.
Yeah, you got to poop. You're free to go.
Yeah.
Bye.
No more questions.
Yep.
Get a traffic stop and you have to pee.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
And they're taking their time.
Yep.
You're like, can you hurry it up?
Right.
I'm speeding, you know, for a reason.
Right.
So yeah. I'm also, in a hurry.
Right, can you speed also?
Yeah.
I gotta pee.
You either gotta hurry it up or turn around for a second.
Right. Yeah, big gulp cut by any chance.
Next headline. Stuntman stops electric fans with his tongue to earn world record.
Oh. Whoa.
An Indian stuntman earned a Guinness World Record by stopping 57 electric fans in 1 minute using his tongue.
Wow.
I really would rather talk about and view the videos of the people who didn't make the record.
Right.
Where it went wrong.
Right, and there's all these tongues everywhere.
Oof.
You can't talk everywhere. I saw you do it.
Which number fan was it that took your tongue off?
It was only six. Only six.
He used his tongue to stop 57 fans in the allotted time, enough to earn the title. The Daredevil's other Guinness World Records titles include the most nails inserted into the nose with a hammer in 1 minute.
No.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, he sounds like he should be in the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow.
Yes, he should.
Just how big's his alone. Tongue? I want to see. How big's this guy's tongue?
That was that's right. Where your mind went.
Yeah,
immediately.
I'm like,
let's see this tongue.
His tongue probably looks like, you know, that brush in the car wash. It's about a shredded wheat.
He also, all right, so the record there was 22 nails into his nose with a hammer.
Oh, nope. No, good.
And the heaviest vehicle pulled by a swallowed sword.
No.
Wait, what?
4,285 pounds.
So he swallowed a sword.
So he swallowed a sword.
Had chain attached to it.
And chain attached to the sword.
And then pulled the car.
Then pulled the car.
Damn. It's by a tow truck.
Yeah, there are easier ways.
And what's the goal of doing all these tricks? I hope it got him some girls. Like, what's the point of it?
Well, it's not a kiss. Yeah. He can't smell anything.
His D don't probably work after that sword trick.